We just want to thank you for that this evening, and for the blessing has been over the last few weeks just to hear again the songs of Zion. We're marching to Zion. We're homeward bound for glory. We'd like just to take a moment very quickly without wasting any time to just say thank you. My life's been the gospel. Since God saved me on a street corner for 50 years, I've preached it, seen it change lives, touch people. That's what I live for. Don't live for what men might think about me. I live for what God might think about me and His holiness. And we've been coming here over 20 years. You know, some of you were 20 years younger when I first saw you. You know what I mean? And now you're, and some of you didn't exist 20 years ago. Did you know that? But it's great to see you, and it's been great. And we, Margaret and I, feel like we're coming home. We love the people, whether they're in the chapel. We love them that are in the island. Every summer I spent my holiday vacations in my mother's island. Therefore, I was well acquaint with island life. And being well acquaint with island life, I was able to understand that everybody is interrelated. So I try and not say anything about anybody. That way you live longer in Spanish Wells. Same in my mother's island. We were all intermarried and related, and my mother would say, in fact, we had an expression there. We talked about our 42nd cousins. That's how far back we went. So it'd been, I understand it. This time we came again, and it was so funny. Margaret and I were having a walk on the dock there, and a Haitian passed by and said, "Oh, you're back again. Good to see you." A Haitian. I thought, oh boy, we must meet him at Mark somewhere anyway. So wherever you are, we love you because Christ loved you even more on the cross. And if you turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 23, I want to read a verse there. They put Jesus in the Pilate's hall. They misjudged him. The trial was a farce. The religious people attacked him. They wanted rid of him. They even had a meeting in the house of the high priest Caiaphas that they might plot to kill Jesus, but they didn't want his blood on their hands and thought, oh, well, we're occupied by the Romans. Let's find a way in which the Romans will get the blame for it and we'll be okay. And it sounds like life today, isn't it? Blame somebody else for our problems. And so where the point we come to, they've taken him from the Pilate judgment hall. They're moving him up Calvary's mountain. And then in verse 33, when they came to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. They classified him among the criminal community. They put him in right down with those who had violated society. They couldn't see the good he had done for the desire to remove him. Someone has said that Jesus came into the world and said, "I am the light of the world." And the devil said, "Well, we'll try and put this light out." And here's the moment when they're trying to put the light out. But I want to read another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The light shone even brighter. For there in verse 18, Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but unto us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever. I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this age?" I've said to you before, if this world out there is sane, aren't you glad you're crazy? Really, if what we see all around us We see judges in Massachusetts giving a few months to someone who has raped a little child, not even putting them in prison. Is that sanity? My dear friends, when we begin to look, we see that the floodgates of sin are beginning to open and up, and we sit as ordinary people feeling powerless because the men and women we have put into power have abused that power, and we find ourselves getting deeper and deeper and deeper as we go along. And is there an answer? Yes, says Paul. And he's bringing it out here. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, or through the foolishness of preaching, to save those who are lost. And you might be sitting there and saying, you know, Clunas, you're absolutely crazy. I'm here because I'm here to please somebody else. But this seems crazy that I've got to sit here and listen to you. But my dear friend, you may think that's foolishness, but that's the very thing that could change your life tonight. That's what Paul is saying. And he's bringing out why. For indeed the Jews ask for a sign and the Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Hallelujah. What a Savior has been resounding around this place tonight, hasn't it? Hallelujah. What a Savior. We preach Christ and Him crucified. For the preaching of the cross. And so we go back, my dear friends, and we look at the world that we're in and we say, is there an answer? Yes, there's an answer. Can we solve the problems, every problem of today? No, we can solve the main problem of today, which is the heart of man. My friends, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's where it all begins. And you know, it's interesting that Jesus said that out of the heart there proceedeth all these evil things, the murders, the mysteries, and everything. All proceed out of the heart. So you can have in your heart a clean fountain, or you can have a cesspool. It's your choice. But what can cleanse it? Well, we've been singing about it. The precious blood of the Lamb. We're back to the cross again. And so as we come to look at it, let me just leave several things to you in the moments that we have together that I think are very important when we come and present the cross. I have seen many people in my life over the last 50 years who've come and given to the cross by faith and have given their lives to Christ. And there have been three simple things have happened when they came to that cross. You see, they came by faith and heard the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And when they came to a place called Calvary, they crucified him. And they've heard that Christ died for their sins. And when they came to that cross, they discovered there was a dimension of life that they never, ever knew about. You see, my dear friends, when you begin to look at it, and those of us who are converted, we are, and have been changed by the power of the cross, have all come to that point. And one of the things I know that astounded me and astounded many others is this tremendous fact that when you step by that place of forgiveness and receive Christ as Savior, and you enter into the experience of what Christ did on the cross, you suddenly discover you're coming through His death into a new life. Many of you know one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, made new. But it was Jesus Himself who said, look, He said, you must be born again. You need to come into a spiritual experience. You need to have a new life. It was the Lord Jesus who said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it in abundance. He said, I am the door. If you come in and go out, you'll go out and you'll find pasture, my there's life, and it is God Almighty who wrote so indelibly in the Scriptures that it has resounded through the years that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, my friend, in the midst of a place of death, there is life. Now, one of the things that we don't really appreciate and have not come to accept sometimes before we come to Christ is that, yes, he died, but he died because we were already dead. Because we were dead, although we were alive physically, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. That's what the Bible says. And I tell you, my friends, when you are in that dead state, you have no conscience about God. And when you have no conscience about God, you lose your conscience about many other things. Because he is the ultimate standard by which we come and live by. And so we discover that we find ourselves, in the words of Scripture, as sinners. Those who have sinned. Those who have been separated. And it goes right back to your birth. You see, I'm trying to think what I did this year that made me a real sinner. My friend, when you were born into this world in sin, did my mother conceive me? I was born in that way. It's interesting, the traits of children, isn't it, as you watch them and see them over the years and when they come into this world. And in fact, some of them really have you concerned because you wonder where they were before you met them. Isn't that right? You look at them. I remember our oldest, Tay, came into this world and he had one of those little cups with a stroop in it which he drank his milk from, and he was just crawling. He wasn't walking. But Margaret and I just looked one day around the corridor into the hallway, and there he was in the carpet, giving all the milk that this cup could give it. Now, that didn't surprise us. The next bit did. Because he took his little hand and he rubbed it until you couldn't see the milk anymore. Now, who taught him to do that? The nature he was born with. Unfortunately, his mother even couldn't claim for it. It was his father's nature. But I can take it back to the Garden of Eden, and I know there was somebody else involved there. But you know, my dear friend, as we begin to look at it, we see the traits. And that sin grows up and up and up as they grow up. And as I've said so many times, you know, we look at the baby and we are so thrilled with them. We are so thrilled with them. And they're ours and they belong to us and they grow up and that sin grows stronger. Begins to take them in ways that no longer cheers our hearts, but breaks them in half. We think of the incident, to use a modern illustration, in Florida of this gorgeous little girl. I wish we had had her in our family. We'd have just loved it. I only got boys. And you can't dress them nice. Unless you dress them in Steeler t-shirts or something like that. But little girls, you can dress nice, can't you? You look at the picture of that little girl and your heart breaks. You wonder, did our mother do this? Did our mother do this? You look at our mother and you see what could be a beautiful woman and you think back, she must have given her mother and parents such great joy when she came into this world. I think she, in the words of the song, must have been a beautiful baby. Grew up to be a young woman. And our latest reports that our father is getting psychiatric treatment because he wanted to commit suicide. Because of all that's happening. My friend, you know what's behind it all? Sin. Sin. And there's only one place where sin has ever been dealt with. once and for all, and that's at the cross. And Paul said, I didn't come to you with smart words. I'm not a Joel Osteen, he says. Well, he didn't quite say that. I said that. But he's saying that. I'm not going to tell you how wonderful you are. I'm going to tell you how sinful you are. Romans 3:23, that you might come to the cross and see how wonderful he is, and that through his death you might maybe be made alive and have life. And through his death, we have life. We discover something else. We're singing about it tonight. There's one thing about sin, it contaminates, doesn't it? It spreads, it contaminates the thinking. Some of you may have seen Dr. Dobson on television recently, dealing with his meeting with Bundy, the man who killed so many women and almost cannibalized them. And with his statement, it all began through a pornographic magazine when he was a boy. My friend, I want to tell you this. If we don't face these issues in our society, I'm going to tell you what. If the Christian church is silent about them, the devil's church isn't silent about them. And he is sowing the seeds. And if I may say to my young friends, without sounding an old fuddy-duddy, be very careful what you watch, because what you watch will pollute your soul. What you listen to will destroy you at one point or time in your life, because you need to be able to decipher good and evil, and you never will be able to decipher that if you yourself have never come to the point of realizing, I need to be made clean in the sight of God. It was the psalmist who said, search me, O God. The scriptures cry out, put a clean heart within me. And when you come to that point, you discover the purpose of Jesus Christ pouring out his blood, his pure blood, for there was no sin in him, he did no sin, he had no sin, pouring out his pure blood on the cross, that we might be saved, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us, makes us clean from all sin. When I simply come with this broken life, when I simply come with this destroyed life, and I bring it to Christ and I say, wait a minute, Lord, you've made me conscious I'm a sinner, you've made me conscious I'm unclean, you've made me conscious I'm dead in trespass and sin, and when I come to that cross and I bow my head and say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. My dear friends, I want to tell you today, there's nothing can wash away your stain but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And not only that, we discover there is another dimension, three of them, that I want to leave you with. One, that we're dead in sin. Two, that we are contaminated. We need to be cleansed. And three, that we need to be forgiven. Forgiveness is a very, very, very wonderful thing. Do you know, my dear friends, psychiatrists have told us in America that the greatest problem in America today is the problem of unforgiveness. I've seen unforgiveness destroy people. I've seen it destroy people because they hadn't the ability to forgive somebody. Because they hadn't the ability to have their own sins forgiven by Jesus Christ. I think of two women alone right away at the top of my head tonight who told me, both of them, that they had got saved at the point of committing suicide. The little story of the trucker that you've maybe seen driving to the Braga Bridge in New York because he'd got his drugs gone high and his life was still empty, so the only thing he could do was jump off the bridge and commit suicide. But heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And my dear friend, the message of the cross is a message that gives us a life in a dimension we can't believe it. He gives us, my dear friends, a clean life by His precious blood. And He gives us forgiveness through, indeed, simple faith. When we come and we accept Him as our Savior, and He takes that burden of unforgiveness away. Probably having lived this long, I've learned a few things in life. I'm a slow learner. It takes me a while. But something I learned was with families. I discovered that while they're alive is the time to do the best for your parents. Because the hardest person to live with after they're gone is yourself. Nobody else. You are the one who could say, I've done my best. I can do no more. If you can live with yourself after they've gone on to glory or wherever they go on to, my dear friend, I want to say this. You have done your best. And you can live with that kind of forgiveness because you have. But you know the real forgiveness that God is wanting you to get today is a forgiveness that's in your heart for the sin that has been built up over the years. And He wants to come, remove it, and give you a life that is forgiven. That is a very precious life to do, to get up in the morning, to know you have peace with God. To know you have a reality of a life that has been changed by the almighty power of God. Now, wouldn't you think that the response to this message would be, yes, let's get it, let's go for it, let's have it. Paul says, no. It's just there's a crowd out there shouting, foolishness. I remember a revivalist preacher preaching in Scotland who had been used in my mother's island mightily and saw many people saved. And I had him up for a conference when I was just a young preacher, and he came to for a weekend because I love to hear about revival. And he came up, and I remember in the middle of the service, one man got up and shouted, is your tongue not sore? I could have said it in broad Scots, but you wouldn't understand it. Is your tongue not sore? Foolishness! Now why? Well, very quickly, let me tell you this. One, because the gospel reveals the heart of man. It reveals that we're sinful. When we look at the cross, have you ever heard anyone curse and say, oh, Muhammad? Have you ever heard anyone curse and say, oh, Buddha? Or, oh, Confucius? And go right through the whole lot. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I've never heard anyone say that. But have you ever heard anyone say, Jesus Christ? I wonder why. Is it because His power is still a reality in the world today? Amen. And we're left with this issue tonight, my friend, that you either bless him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, or you curse him in blasphemy and say, Jesus Christ. Because of the sinful nature will never get better until it gets cured. It's like a cancer that will kill you. And I say this with love in my heart, and I say this to you younger people and older people. My dear friend, to live and die without Jesus Christ is to choose hell. You say, choose hell? Yes. Because right in this meeting tonight, you have a choice. And the choice before you is a Savior that you can shout hallelujah to and will take you one day to heaven. Or the choice is to stay in your sin and say, no, that's foolishness, that's crazy. These preachers up there in the chapel are all nuts. Yeah, but they're screwed onto the right bolt, praise God. Amen? You engineers know it's not a problem of being a nut. It's what you're attached to that matters, isn't it? And my dear friend, I want to tell you, you have a choice tonight. You have a choice. And if you let sin reign in your life, you're going to say foolishness. And then it reveals the nature of man. We're rebellious. We don't like to be told. Why are we living in an age we don't like to be told what to do? I remember in school, I was taught by women who were trained by Hitler. I'm sure that he was training them in Germany and sending them over the North Sea just to mutilate the kids in the class. One, Miss Meldrum, I will never forget her name, because I bear on my body the marks. She used to do this with her knuckle, and you'd be just daydreaming in whammo. You were ready for the resurrection if you were saved. Today she would be doing time in San Quentin or somewhere like that. Today's a day where I do what I like. Well, I hope you like hell, because that's where you're heading. You see, my friend, when you surrender at the cross, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I'm saved. I want to live for you by your grace. And so we discover this. That, my dear friend, it reveals our nature. We're rebellious. We say, no, no, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over. Give us Barabbas. Give us the thief. Give us the robber. Give us the man who did it all wrong. We don't want the man who did it all right. What's your choice tonight? Because if you don't choose Jesus Christ tonight, you know what you've done? You have revealed what your final destiny is. And it isn't heaven. Because it reveals what the Word of God says here. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing. You see, my friend, here's an interesting thing. Let me just, as we wind things up here. You say, well, when I meet God, we'll deal with it. No, you won't. Because the Bible tells us that we are already judged. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not, says John in his gospel, is condemned already. Did you know? When you sit in a service without Christ as your Savior, or you walk around the island without Christ as your Savior, that you're under the condemnation of God, and in His book you've got a criminal record, you're a sinner. No, you haven't got away with it. Even although nobody knows about it. The Old Testament says, "Thou God, seest me." So right at this moment, we're perishing. And we're getting older. And one day we're going to face the man on the cross, not as our Savior, but as our judge if we reject him. But when they came to a place called Calvary, they crucified him. And the word of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Power of God. And the way there in Psalm 40, the psalmist says this so beautifully. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up." When the young folks singing about that the other Thursday, he brought me up. He brought me up. And he brought me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, having given me a new life, having cleansed me, having forgiven me, and he put me in a new... And my friend, he put a new song in our mouths. And what a song it is. A song of freedom, of blessing, of deliverance. And you can have that song tonight. But we discover you must let him deliver you, for this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, how do we do it? Just give me a moment or two and we'll close. If you're not a Christian tonight, you're sitting there with the judgment of God already on you, you're perishing. The Word of God tells you. You have made a deliberate choice to stay where you are. And in making that deliberate choice to stay in your sin, you've chosen hell. Because that's where the judgment that's upon us is going to end. But here's the good news. Right now you can change all that. Amen? Right now you can change all that by simply acknowledging what God has been trying to tell us for generations, that he put his love in our direction, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you say, how do I get it? God says, here's the gift. You say, let me pay for it. No. Let me put something in the offering. No. Let me give you something for it. My friend, if you give me a dollar for this Bible, as beat up as it is, it would be not a gift, but a bargain. God doesn't work with bargains. He works with gifts. And when you and I realize we're sinners and recognize that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we bow our heads and say, Lord, I'm going to surrender that life to you tonight. Save me now. Several things will happen. You'll get a new life. You'll be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And you'll have forgiveness through faith. You will stop rebelling. And you'll have your sin removed. And my dear friend, you'll have changed your eternal destiny. Imagine walking in this place tonight on your way to hell and walking out on your way to heaven, amen? Wow. And that simply happens when you, nobody else, when my daddy got saved 3 years before he died. I couldn't believe it. And he says, I said, Dad, you got to pray. And I showed him the gospel. And he said, you pray, son. You do the praying for our family. I said, Dad, this is one time I couldn't pray for you. I've done my praying for you. I'm at this point tonight because I have prayed for you. And some of you are at this point tonight because a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, or just fellow islanders have prayed for you. And I heard the sweetest prayer I ever heard in my life. Heard my father ask my heavenly father into his life. It works, you know. It works. And if you think you're happy now, when Jesus saved you, you'll be happier when you're not happy than you were before when you were happy. He's a wonderful Savior. Let's bow our heads. And simply in the quiet moments, just say, Lord Jesus Christ, you died on the cross for me. You poured out your blood for me to make me clean. You want me by simple faith to come in, ask you into my life that I might have forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin tonight and I say, thank you for dying for me. Come into my life and save me now. Father, speak to some soul today. Speak to some soul and save them now. Right now. Let's sing verse 2 of hymn 90. I'm going to do something I've never done here this time. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward tonight. If God has blessed you or touched your heart during this month, or if God has saved you tonight, you want to be saved tonight, or you've got things you want to put right in your life, we got a prayer room out there. We just love you, but we'd like you to come as we sing this lovely hymn, I've Anchored My Soul. My soul in exile was out in last sea, and you folks know about that. You know what it is to be caught in the storms. 790 was out in life. See, you come on the first verse. Thank you. 790.